We're going to call this meeting to order. Senator Rest, welcome, and we apologize for the delay. We had a few things happening. We had to change our agenda, so welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, I have two bills before you today. The first one is Senate File 1475, which is an exception to the nursing facility moratorium.
Was that all it is?
And it is, it concerns the Good Samaritan University facility, and one that is proposed to be built in my district in Robbinsdale on the land that had housed a previous Good Samaritan facility, which has been razed. And the proposal essentially is to build on the land in Robbinsdale and to transfer the residents of the university facility to the new facility in Robbinsdale when it is built. So I had contacted the mayor of Robbinsdale, and they're very much in support of it, but was not able to be here today, and also the city council is in support of it. You will see in your packet some information, and we have testifiers as well, some information about the university facility and the and their proposal, a little bit of history about the facility, what kinds of care in terms of the special populations that they have given over the years, and also a letter of support from the Hennepin County and a letter of support from the staff at Regents Hospital. So, Madam Chair, if I could turn to my testifiers to present more information, but I'll just point out that it's I think you all have the handouts in your packets.
Yes, Senator Rest, we have the handout. Please, welcome to the committee and introduce yourself.
My name is Sharon St. Mary, and I'm the Executive Director at University Good Samaritan Center.
That close. All right.
Thanks.
And I also have with me Rick Moore, who is the architect that is working with us on the building and has been working with the city. I thank you very much for hearing our testimony today. I appreciate the time that you will spend considering this. The first thing that you should know about University Good Samaritan Center, I know you will have a number of individual facility bills, but the first thing you should know about us is that we're not like any other nursing home, any place else in the state. We're the only nursing home that is dedicated to multi-specialty programming for residents that are difficult to provide care for. So all of our 200 and some residents that we have in our building are special needs residents. Our average age is 55, and I think in most nursing homes, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's somewhere north of 80. Our mix between males and females is about 62% male and 38% female, and that's the exact opposite that you'll find in most nursing homes. We have Alzheimer's unit, we have a Huntington's disease unit. We're one of a handful in the entire country that has a unit for people with Huntington's disease, and it's a nationally recognized unit. We have a unit for people who are in coma. We have a unit for people who are young, under the age of 65, hence the lower age average. And we have secure and unsecure units for people who present challenging behaviors that makes it difficult for them to companionably reside in less restrictive settings. A lot of our residents come to us because they have been homeless and continue to be homeless. Some have no family and have been alienated from their families. Many have had drug and alcohol problems. All of them are devastated by diseases and injury, which has resulted in their inability to live independently in the community. We're the safety net for most of the rest of the nursing homes in the state of Minnesota. When they have residents that they can't take care of, they call us. our statewide, on the handout that you have, I have noted a couple of differences about us, some of which I have already talked about, some of which is our payer type. Our average length of stay is very high. You know, when you're coming into a nursing home and you're 35 years old and you expect to have an average lifespan, you might live there for 25 or 30 years. That's very unusual in today's nursing homes. And along with that, when you're going to live someplace for 35 years, you also have a tendency to need lots of closet space and some of those kind of functional things that when you're 87 years old and living in a nursing home for a year or a year and a half, you don't really need. We were built in the 1970s as a 400-bed facility, and we are now licensed for 219 beds. We have about 205 residents in the facility as of today and waiting lists for several of our programs. We also have a building that is falling down around our ears. In the past 6 years alone, we've spent over $3 million just trying to do things like shore up crumbling block walls and repair the this happened to us this winter when the world was freezing around us. Our pipes froze and every single heating and air conditioning unit in our dining room and all need to be replaced. So we have that kind of building issue that we need to deal with. This is not a facility that we're not coming forward and asking for a rate increase because we're losing money and we're poorly managed. We're not losing money. We're doing okay financially, but we can't continue to sustain the physical structure of the building. All of our money, all of our operating is going to capital improvements, and I hesitate to call them improvements because it's not really improving the building as much as it is patching the building. And we have outgrown the size of the building. One other thing I would just like to point out is that even though we are coming forward and we are asking for money, as I pointed out, we're a safety net for the rest of the state for difficult-to-place residents. And so just as a kick, I did a calculation. When the Agua Ching Nursing Home was looking to be phased out, we took 5 residents from Agua Ching. And so just before I came today, I was calculating what it cost, what it saved the state in costs for us to take those 5 residents from Agua Ching. And I calculated that at the point in time that they were admitted until today was approximately $1,189,719. That's the difference in our daily rate compared to Agua Ching's daily rate and how much the state saved by being able to move them into our facility. Also the same, we also take residents from our regional treatment centers, and the cost difference from the regional treatment centers to our facility has saved the state over $2 million. So we also represent a bit of a cost savings because we are a lower cost facility, and even with a $35 a day increase, the state is still saving considerable dollars by being able to place them in our facility as opposed to keeping them in hospitals or in the regional treatment centers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Would you like to?
I'll just answer questions.
The architect is just here to answer questions if members have them.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the members? Any discussion of this?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Seeing no discussion, I'll move the bill.
Okay. All of those in favor of that?
Madam Chair, yes. I believe it needs to go to the Finance Committee.
Okay. So Senator Higgins moves that Senate File 1475 be recommended for inclusion, to the Finance Committee. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion carries.
Thank you, Madam
Thank
Chair.
Thank you, Senator
members.
Rest.
Thank you, Chair members. Thank you.
Madam Chair, the next bill is Senate File 1528. A number of years ago, Hennepin County was allowed to establish a housing and redevelopment authority, and at that time, there was concern from some of the cities in Hennepin County regarding whether they should be allowed to operate at the same time as a city, as an HRA, as the cities that had their own HRAs. And those cities were Minneapolis, St. Louis Park, Hopkins, and Robbinsdale. and that occurred in 1987. Since that time, and they were concerned also about the imposition of a levy, Hennepin County has never levied for their HRA, and excuse me. And now, Hennepin County HRA chairman, who is Commissioner Gail Dorfman, who is not able to be here today because of illness, has met with the representatives of all four cities, who now have no objection to the county operating the county HRA. And so we are removing that exclusion, or proposing to remove that exclusion in the law. And I have Ms. Kelleher, who is an official with Hennepin County, to give you more background information, as well as Mr. Brian Rice, who is here on behalf of the county.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. As Senator Rust explained, my name is Carol Kelleher, and I'm the administrative manager of the Housing Development Division within Hennepin County's Housing Community Works and Transit. Commissioner Dorfman would love to have been here today, but as Senator Rust explained, she is out ill. The Hennepin County Housing and Redevelopment Authority was created in 1987 by state statute. By that same statute, as Senator Rust explained, there were four cities with HRAs that were created before 1971 that were required to give annual permission to the Hennepin County HRA used as levy authority in their communities. These cities are Minneapolis, St. Louis Park, Robbinsdale, and Hopkins. This current requirement treats municipalities in Hennepin County in an unequal fashion by limiting the potential levy in some cities but not others. The bill before you today would remove the approval requirement for these four cities. This measure would create tax uniformity across our Hennepin County cities and has the potential to generate additional funds for housing and community development. Each of the four city councils in the original statutes passed resolutions in 2003 endorsing this change to the approval process. This year, all four cities have again confirmed their continuing support for this change in legislation. The cities within Hennepin County are partnering with Hennepin County Housing and Redevelopment Authority to provide assistance with economic development projects within their communities. The county and the Hennepin County HRA are proud of our ongoing partnerships with our cities and hope that the change in the legislation proposed today will facilitate these relationships and create equity among the cities in Hennepin County. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, we stand for questions. This bill did pass, to our best recollection. It passed the Senate in 2003 as well, and so we're back here again. It did not pass in the House at that time.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Any questions for Senator Berglund?
Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 1528 be recommended to pass.
And this needs to be referred?
No. No?
Okay.
It goes just to the
Thank
floor.
You. All of those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Madam
Thank
Chair
you.
And members.
Senator Rest. Senator Lori.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're going to have a record time here today, I hope. I've got Senate File 462 before you, which should be fairly non-controversial. This is a resolution to be presented to Congress to get to work and make sure that Congress and the President reauthorizes the SCHIP funding that Minnesota at long last did get a waiver to provide. I do have an A1 amendment that'll be an author's amendment.
Okay.
I'd like to move that.
Okay. Excuse me, I don't have. Okay, here we are. The A1 amendment. Any questions about this amendment? If not, all of those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? The amendment's adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment, I'll just speak to that very briefly, is really a recognition that after this bill got drafted, there got to be quite a bit of discussion at the federal level about the president was intending to take SCHIP funding back to its original intent, which was to fund children only up to 200% of federal poverty guidelines, and that would essentially cut Minnesota out of the Minnesota Care, out of the SCHIP program that we had a great deal of trouble attaining a waiver to get into in the first place. So it would include in our resolution a statement that we'd like SCHIP to be reauthorized in a flexible manner that best meets the needs of the state, since Minnesota was on the forefront of providing health coverage to children through our Minnesota Care program. So really it's a resolution asking Congress and the President to reauthorize SCHIP and make sure that we can continue that as a essential part of providing health care to children and pregnant mothers and families in our state.
Thank you, Senator Lurie. Any questions for Senator Lurie? If not, would you like to move?
I'd like to move that Senate File 462 be recommended to pass.
Okay. All of those as amended be recommended to pass. So all of those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And I think that concludes our meeting. Thank you, members of the committee.
Wow, that's nice.
We had to change the agenda for today, so we only have three bills, and we will see what happens for Wednesday. Thank you, and this meeting is adjourned.